We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between two and five players to fill out your pick'em slip. Get every pick right and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
Looks like he's a little bit off.
Maybe
he's not playing with a full deck.
how to deal. I like it. Have those fingers wrapped up as well. We don't know. Maybe we'll find out. I wouldn't bother him. I wouldn't ask him. I'll ask him. What's he doing now?
Oh, look at this. The big 450-pounder climbing up. He's on the second rope on the inside. Second turnbuckle. Oh, drove Mancini down into the canvas, face first. Obviously very pleased with himself as well.
Mancini right now looks like a pavement patty.
Come on, Rock, you going to let him go up there and do that again or what? Mancini obviously half unconscious. One man gained, about to fly again. Elbow drop right to the back, right in that subscapularis area. Goodbye, it's all over for Mancini. Maybe for quite some time.
That man could be permanently injured. He could be out.
The winner of this bout, the One Man Gang.
One Man Gang indeed. And Mario Mancini not doing too much for the One Man Gang to do, did he? Let's go back and take a look at some of the action as this match unfolded. Watch him just ram the kisser of the heart right into the canvas. Knocked him right into the middle of next week. Then he polished it off with this elbow. Unreal. Always something of special interest going on in the WWF, so let's spread the word.
All right, hi, good everybody. Mean Gene Okerlund here, and my guest this week, a man that is known very well from Detroit, Michigan, truly one of the great superstars in the World Wrestling Federation. George the Animal Steel, come on in, if you will. So many things happening to you as of late here in the World Wrestling Federation. And I wanted to take the time to talk about some of the things that have been going on.
Elizabeth!
You like her, don't you?
And? What's his name?
What? Macho Man Randy Savage, that's it. You like Elizabeth, don't you, George?
Russell, Macho Man. Saturday night, main event.
Good, George. That's exactly what it was. Well, George, try to explain.
Little Danny Davis.
He hit you on the side of the head. He blasted you with a 20-pound steel bell.
Look out! Davis!
That name rings a bell, doesn't it, George? Danny Davis. He's not up there. You can trust, George, you can trust me. If there's anybody in this world you can trust, it's me. Pal.
Nice.
George, don't kill a good thing.
Davis!
Downski. Thanks, George.
Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to the Hogan Era Podcast. I am your host, JP John Paz, the one-man power trip that runs the two-man power trip of wrestling. This is, of course, the TMPT feed right here, a part of the two-man power trip of wrestling's podcasting empire. The Hogan Era Podcast, of course, is all about 1984 to 1993 in the WWF. A lot of people refer to it as the Golden Era. It is, of course, known affectionately here as the Hogan Era, the era that made Vince McMahon into a retired billionaire, an era that launched so many superstars and so many fandoms as well. When you look at the Hogan Era and this show, we're not only talking about the immortal Hulk Hogan, but we are also talking about guys like Rowdy Roddy Piper, Andre the Giant, King Kong Bundy, Big John Studd, Macho Man Randy Savage, The Ultimate Warrior, Sid Justice, Ric Flair, The Undertaker, and so many more. Here each and every week, we also cover some of the tag teams, some of the Intercontinental Champions, some of the unsung heroes, some of the guys that maybe don't get enough credit. And lately, we've been talking about some of the enhancement talent, some of the carpenters, and of course, as some people refer to them as, quote-unquote, job guys. We've been kind of covering a bunch of them, the Brooklyn Brawler, Iron Mike Sharp, and a bunch of other Barry Horowitz and a bunch of other good ones. This week, we have another great one that we're going to be focusing on and talking about, and that is Mr. Mario Mancini. When you think about Mario Mancini, I know a lot of people will think about The Undertaker, probably, just because he really had Undertaker's first match ever in the WWF. Technically speaking, even though it was taped on November 19th, it didn't air until December 15th, so it was technically not his first televised match, but it was actually his real first match in. And like we've talked about here each and every week on the show, when that happens and when you go through that and you're the guy, they're kind of putting a little bit of pressure on you, I guess you could say, but also I think they're putting a lot of faith in you as well, saying, hey, we think something of this guy. We're going to think very highly of this guy. We're going to put you in there, and you need to make him look good because we have high expectations and a big push coming for him. And of course, we know where The Undertaker would end up after that, one of the greatest superstars ever in history of the business. Of course, Mario Mancini was trained by Tony Altomare, the legendary Sicilian there, but he really wouldn't make his debut in the WWF until 1984. The interesting significance of his debut was he had just basically turned 18 years old, and at that time was the youngest wrestler ever in the history of the World Wrestling Federation. So just an interesting tidbit. I know that would change over the years to a few different wrestlers, and Teddy Hart held that distinction for quite a long time, but when you actually, and Rene Dupree actually at one point as well. So when you actually look at him and the significance, one of the, at the time, the youngest wrestler in the WWF, The Undertaker debut, it's pretty damn interesting career. And that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg, if you will, as far as that. I know a lot of people probably remember him from Tuesday Night Titans, May 2nd, 1985, they had the unsung heroes, Jim Powers, Stephen Bardi, Paul Roma, the Duke of Dorchester, Pete Doherty, and obviously Vince McMahon was interviewing all the undercard guys here and kind of wanted to know their motivations, their plans, what they thought of the business, and you know, a bunch of different things as far as their career, their life, and such other things like that. And these are all the enhancement guys, which were referred to on TV as unsung heroes. McMahon, if people remember correctly, he even joked around and was calling him Boom Boom Mancini after the legendary boxer Ray Mancini, which is obviously not his nickname, but it was just funny, and it was just him having a good time with that. Obviously, with Mario Mancini and at WWF, you're not looking at a lot of wins. I mean, of course, he is one of the enhancement guys, and that's his role, and we've talked about this for weeks. Yes, you're an enhancement guy, and yes, that's your role, but you have a lot of TV time and a ton of TV equity. So it's amazing to think, like, okay, you may not remember a guy on TV. Let's say, for instance, maybe Billy Jack Haynes, even though he was in the golden era, the Hogan era, and you know, maybe became mainstream. But hey, maybe you might not remember him as much because he only lasted there 2 years. Why Mario Mancini, on the other hand, lasted there about 8 years, 1984, really leaving at the end of 91, early 1992. So one of the things where you, whether you know it or not, you see him on TV a lot more than you've seen a ton of other guys. We've talked about that for the last, you know, 4 weeks or so with Iron Mike Sharp being on TV like crazy, and Barry Horowitz and the Brooklyn Brawler just really, really getting a ton of TV time. When you look at Mario Mancini and his run, let's start it off here in 1984. And when you think about what was going on in 1984, obviously the Hogan era is in full swing, baby. August 18th, 1984. Greg Valentine defeated Mario Mancini at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, New York. Then he would team up with S.D. Jones about a month later, and they would lose to the Moondogs, Moondog Rex and Moondog Spot. Then takes a loss to Kamala, Brutus the Barber Beefcake. He's getting a tag team title match along with Tony Garea, losing to Adrian Adonis and Dick Murdoch. He is actually wrestling Steve Lombardi at a WWE House Show live event in Reading, PA, and it goes to a draw. So interesting there, not taking a loss at house shows, losing to Dr. D, David Schultz, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, Big John Studd. The Moondogs, again, this time teaming up with Aldo Moreno in that loss at a house show in New York City at the Herbert H. Lethem High School. Mario Mancini and Sweet Hansen defeated A.J. Petruzzi and Johnny Rods. So his first big victory there in the World Wrestling Federation. Obviously, this was not an, even though New York City is an A-town, the venue is nowhere near an A-town, and this was actually more of like a C show, with the main event being Barry Windham defeating Brutus the Barber Beefcake in that one. Well, really, just Bruce Beefcake. He and Steve Lombardi team up to lose on TV WWF Championship Wrestling from Poughkeepsie to Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik in late 1984. Then loses to the Magnificent Morocco, Jim Neidhart, as we head into 1985. Brutus Beefcake, Moondog Spot, King Kong Bundy, Brutus Beefcake again. The Hart Foundation, Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart, defeated Mario Mancini and SD Jones from Poughkeepsie. Loses to King Kong Bundy in Poughkeepsie as well, and that was in the April 1985 taping. He would then fight a few matches for some titles. He would lose, of course, Intercontinental title match on TV to Greg Tamer Valentine, and then a tag team championship match with partner Sal Gee, loses to Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff, the tag team champions. Then a big step up in competition here as he loses to Magnificent Morocco, and then Terry Funk on 6/17/1985 Championship Wrestling TV taping again from Poughkeepsie, New York. When you're looking at it, he is wrestling some of the all-time greats, including Macho Man Randy Savage, King Kong Bundy again, Jesse the Body Ventura, again Terry Funk, Tiger Chung Lee, again Macho Man Randy Savage. Gets a win over Gino Carabello at a house show in Connecticut before coming back to TV and losing to Hercules, Ted Arcidi, Adrian Adonis, the Hart Foundation, Jake the Snake Roberts, Cowboy Bob Orton, the Funk Brothers of Haas Funk and Jimmy Jack Funk. Of course, Haas Funk being Dory Funk Jr. Then he gets a couple matches against Harley Race. Of course, he loses both of those. Loses to, again, Paul Orndorff, again to Bob Orton and the Funks. Again, Macho Man Randy Savage, as we're in 1986, Intercontinental Championship match, Championship Wrestling, TV taping from Poughkeepsie, New York. Macho Man Randy Savage defeats Mario Mancini in that one as well. Then teaming up with Jose Luis Rivera to lose to the Dream Team of Brutus Beefcake and Greg Valentine. An interesting Superstars taping, Superstars number 3, 8/26/1986. Hercules Hernandez, Nikolai Volkoff, and the Iron Sheik defeated Billy Jack Haynes, Mario Mancini, and Nick Kaniski. Then Wrestling Challenge number 2 loses to Kamala. Then on a Superstars taping, loses to Sika. Wrestling Challenge taping, teaming up with Nick Kaniski again, losing to the Hart Foundation. Superstars taping, losing to Butch Reed and Adrian Adonis. Wrestling Challenge taping, losing once again to Macho Man Randy Savage, Dino Bravo, Cowboy Bob Orton, and the Magnificent Morocco. Taking a couple house show losses to Tony Garea. Then on a Superstars taping number 19, Salvatore Bellomo and Mario Mancini loses to Axe and Smash of Demolition as we head into 1987. Losing to Demolition again, losing to Hercules again, Adrian Adonis, Butch Reed, King Harley Race, King Kong Bundy. Interesting six-man tag Wrestling Challenge number 35. Lanny Poffo, Mario Mancini, and Siva Afi losing to the Iron Sheik, Nikolai Volkoff, and Butch Reed. Losing to Outback Jack on a house show, losing to One Man Gang on TV. A six-man tag on Superstars taping number 41. Don Driggers, Jim Powers, Mario Mancini, and eight-man tag there. And Paul Roma losing to Hercules, King Harley Race, King Kong Bundy, and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff of the Heenan family. Then he would, of course, lose to Kamala, to Sika, to Dino Bravo, to Greg the Hammer Valentine, to a Islanders team of Haku and Tama. Of course, that time he teamed with Jerry Allen, again losing to One Man Gang, the Outlaw Ron Bass, the Bolsheviks, the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers, Danny Davis, the One Man Gang, the Big Boss Man, Greg Valentine once again, and then as we're heading into 1988, of course, losing to Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, losing to the Brainbusters, and even losing again to Dino Bravo. When you looked at Mancini in 88, though, it's very interesting to note this. He was basically like, I'm just kind of used as a job guy here. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if there's any sort of upward trajectory in this company at all. So he changed his training regimen completely. You know, maybe did some artificial stuff and maybe some not some artificial stuff. But he definitely did a lot of training, did a lot of powerlifting. He really altered his physique. He actually went quoted as saying, if I was going down, I'm going down in history as one of the best jobbers in the WWF has ever seen. He definitely bulked up and he definitely got big, but that didn't really change his trajectory as he still obviously did a ton of jobs there. And really in 1989, losing to the Brooklyn Brawler, the Brainbusters once again, the Honky Tonk Man, Rick Rude, Rick Martel, Mr. Perfect, Macho Man, Randy Savage, and his buddy, good friend, Paul Roma as well. Also losing with George Skolin, son of Arnie Skolin there, on Superstars 204 in 1990. Yes, still there. Demolition Axe and Crush defending the tag titles that time on Superstars and getting the win. Then, like I mentioned, really the taping was 11-19-1990. Undertaker defeated Mario Mancini 1 minute 20 seconds. Superstars 220, War Memorial in Rochester, New York. At that point, believe it or not, he was still referred to as Kane, the Undertaker. So not even just the fact that he's the Undertaker, which makes it super special, just his really official debut as Kane, the Undertaker. And obviously that didn't stick. They didn't particularly like that as much. But just one of those things where, man, what a trivia question, what a nugget, and what a thing to be a part of. Undertaker's debut match, pretty damn cool. And as far as Mario Mancini and WF, he's not done. He would wrestle in 1991 against Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, Skinner, Big Bully Busick, Skinner again, the Big Boss Man, the Natural Disasters as well, of course, all losing to them. And then really his last tag team match and last match period in the WWF was late 1991 on Superstars 271 from New Haven, Connecticut. Paul Perez and Mario Mancini lose to the Nasty Boys, Brian Knobbs and Jerry Sags, 4 minutes and 30 seconds, and basically gone from the WWF after that. But he wasn't gone from the independent scene and the training scene as well, as he trained a bunch of wrestlers as well. But he's one of those guys, I want to call him an enhancement guy. You want to call him a job guy. You want to call him a carpenter. You know, whatever name you want to call him, he was on TV for the WWF for 8 years. So you can't knock it, but you got to love it. Ton of TV time and a ton of TV equity as well. So let's hit the plugs and head towards the finish here. You could follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website on Patreon, patreon.com/TMPT Empire for more. Also go to TeePublic, TeePublic.com/stores/TMPT to get some TMPT merch and get your Hogan Era shirts today. Like it was announced, there will be the Hogan Era book project, which is coming later in 2024. Got a ton of interviews from a ton of WWE Hall of Famers, including an interview with Hulk Hogan. A lot of great stuff and history and the top 100 matches that Hulk Hogan had in the Hogan Era as well, which is going to be highly up for debate, which I am looking forward to and which I love. So definitely look out for the Hogan Era book coming in 2024. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We will see you right here next week for a little Hogan Era podcast. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPT Empire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother.
We
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip. Get every pick right and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
Now, competing in the 30-man Royal Rumble. That's every man for himself. And in just a moment, we're ready to see someone who has been signed. And you can bet he's going to be for himself, if not Mario Mancini.
And his opponent.
It's this ominous creature here.
Down the aisle.
Who made an incredible debut as a mystery tag team partner at the Survivor Series.
But look who's accompanying him to the ring.
Yeah.
Brother Love.
Take a look.
This guy up front.
This, I'll tell you what, he really gives you the creeps, this man. An unbelievable impression he made in Survivor Series. His first appearance on Superstars. And
Is this man going to be in the Royal Rumble?
Yes, sir, along with Andre
signed?
The Giant.
Is he already signed in the Royal
yes.
Rumble?
The model Rick Martel will be there.
Honker,
Honky Tonk Man will be there. All 30 wrestlers have been signed now, Roddy, but I don't see your name on there at all.
Honker, what are you going to do against this fella here?
That's a good question.
In the Royal, I mean, it's every dog face for himself in the Royal Rumble. There ain't no friends. You ain't going to have nobody there to back you up.
Roddy, please.
I'm sorry.
Just slow down.
Okay, I'll talk slow.
But nonetheless, don't beg the question, Honky. It's a very good one. How do you compete against a man, oh, about 6'10", I guess he is, well over that 300-pound mark, and is agile and has the gifts that this man has. How do you compete with him?
A little song and dance routine, Vince. Oh, I know you wouldn't know anything about that.
We spoke with The Undertaker earlier on with Brother Love. Oh, my!
Behold, brothers and sisters, behold, for the end is near. The tombstone is on the way, and the epitaph always reads the same.
Here lies another opponent, Kane, the Undertaker.
The Undertaker, in complete control as he has been from the outset of this matchup against Mancini.
The Cumberland County Civic Center in Portland, Maine, on Thursday night, December 27th, WWF action in the great state of Maine. On the card will be Superfly Jimmy Snuka, the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, and the Big Boss Man, just to name a few, on their way to Cumberland County Civic Center in Portland, Maine, live World Wrestling Federation action on Wednesday night, December 27th.
Look at that man's eyes.
He needs to get some sleep, that guy.
Here is your winner, Kane, the Undertaker.
He's awesome.
Undertaker victorious. I guess, honky-tonk, you could even say that the Undertaker is deadly.
Now, I don't find that to be too funny, Vince McMahon. It's more like maybe rest in peace.
Oh, I see. Let's go back and look at this.
He's walking the top rope, 6'9", 300-plus pounds across the back. Picks him up, the tombstone. He's resting in peace.
A lot of levity there, huh? Not when you take a look at that. Man is possessed. However, you can have some fun. And you can have some fun with this. The WrestleMania Challenge from Nintendo. That's a lot of fun. And after you've finished having fun, you want to get back down to serious? Take another look at that.
I'm waiting for his head to spin.
Folks here in Boston, this is the holiday season. And when you are...